So there they were. Two sons died. She was left a widow, bereft of two sons, utterly lonely, in a strange Gentile pagan country of Moab, no friends of the Jewish people. Later on in the prophetic scriptures, Israel is called God's wife. And yet, in a sense, she is estranged through idolatry, left her God, worshipped other gods. Would you go to the book of Hosea, which is after Daniel? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Let's go after Daniel is Hosea. Look at several places here. Look in chapter 8 first. Hosea is after Daniel. Ezekiel, then Hosea. This is what's happened to the Jewish people, as we know, historically speaking. But Hosea is a prophet to Israel centuries long before Jesus came. Chapter 8 and verse 8 of Hosea. Chapter 8 and verse 8, if you're to find it. Israel is swallowed up. Now they are among the Gentiles, like a vessel in which there is no pleasure. That was true then, back in Naomi's experience, in the pagan land of Moab. That is still true now, although there are over 6 million Jews living in Israel. Yet there are many more yet to come back, and they are coming back as well, away from these nations of the earth. There are Jewish people from over 110 different nations back in Israel today. And of course, when they had the War of Independence, they couldn't speak each other's language, and none of them knew Hebrew anyway. So it was a big problem when they tried to defend themselves. So this is what's happening. They're among the pagans, and there's no pleasure. Go back to chapter 2 now. Hosea is a wonderful book to study. I'll explain just very briefly. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 to 20. I'll read those. Hosea chapter 2, back there. I'll read from verse 14 to 20. It's worth it. It's quite a few verses. It's headed up God's mercy on his people. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness, and he certainly did, and speak comfort to her. I will give her her vineyards from there, the valley of Achor, as a door of hope. She shall sing there, as in the days of her youth, when Israel was a young nation, as in the day when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband, which is in Hebrew Ishi, and no longer call me my master, which is Baali. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, that's idolatrous gods, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. In that day I will make a covenant for them. New covenant? Yes. For the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the creeping things of the ground, that's the millennial blessings. Bow and sword of battle I will shatter from the earth, millennial peace. To make them lie down safely, yes, they will eventually. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. The earth shall answer with grain, new wine, new oil. They shall answer Jezreel, which means God will sow. Then I will sow for her myself in the earth. I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my God. That's what's happening. Zechariah is the same.
What's Jezreel mean? Sorry?
Jezreel, God will sow. I will sow her for myself in the earth, verse 23 is explaining it. The church forgets it, I think, because they don't study these books of the Old Testament, especially the prophets. They don't, it's there. But you see, that's what he's planning to do. This is a picture of Israel as a restored wife. We're the bride of Christ. Israel will be the wife of God the Father. Or Yahweh, J-A-H.
To Israel take place?
Mainly around about the time when they were out of Egypt, in the desert, and God was speaking to them in the book of Deuteronomy.
Right.
Deuteronomy, particularly, is a book of the marriage relationship between God and Israel. That's why he said, if you commit idolatry, I'll cast you out, which is what they did. And he's cut Israel off of his wife, but he says, I will restore to you in my grace. While we're in Hosea, look in chapter 13, the last chapter. Chapter 13. Look in verse 9. Chapter 13. While we're still in Hosea, we'll look at these verses. Chapter 13, verse 9. O Israel, you are destroyed, or you've destroyed yourself, but your help is from me. That's how it is, a restored wife. Now, the picture of Hosea is this. It's like an acting book of prophecy. Hosea married Gomer, and she went into prostitution. She ruined her whole life. She ended up in the slave market, not worth anything. Mm. Hosea bought her back at a half price of a slave. And they had children before, and they had special names, and he restored her to be the mother of their children once again. This is a picture of God restoring Israel to himself. Mm. It's an acted parable prophecy picture. Mm. It's a marvelous book to study. So look at, well, read chapter 13, verse 9, and look at chapter 14, verse 1. While we're there, chapter 14, now verse 1. O Israel, return to the Lord your God. He's pleading for them to come back. For you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Verse 2. Take words with you. That's my word, scripture. And return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. We will offer the sacrifice of our lips. And that is what it will be. Remarkable book of prophecy, Hosea. Quite terrific. And the Lord will one day receive them very graciously. That's certainly true.
Early, don't
expect half past seven. Right, so let's go back to Ruth, where we were before, please. Ruth, we find that the famine is over, and if you look down to verse 19, now the two of them, that's Naomi and Ruth, Orpah had gone back to her family and to her gods, until they came to Bethlehem. When they came to Bethlehem, house of bread, that all the city was excited because of them. At the end of verse 22, as they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest, God had blessed the land once again. That's chapter 1 at the end of verse 22. So there it is. Now we have Ruth joined to Naomi. And these are so well-known verses, aren't they? Look what Ruth promised. Naomi said, look, verse 15, go like your sister-in-law. She's gone back to her people and her gods. You go back as well. And Ruth says, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me. More also, if anything but death parts you and me. Well known verses, I'm sure. That was the allegiance of a Gentile to a Jewish woman. After all that Naomi had been through. Quite difficult, wasn't it? Oh dear. Well, that was her scene. You see, Naomi had absolutely nothing. She left her inheritance, left Bethlehem, left Israel, had nothing. Lost her husband, lost her two sons, absolutely destitute. And Israel today is without God, without hope. We were once like that, according to Ephesians 2. But Naomi had Ruth join her. I tell you, what a comfort that is, isn't it? She would have died, Naomi, that is, she would have died in poverty, homeless, stateless. And how many Jewish people, through the last century particularly, were homeless and stateless? They didn't even have a passport, and how many suffered in the Holocaust? I needn't repeat that, need I? She could have gone into a form of slavery, which was quite legal, because they looked after the slaves very well, gave them a home. She could have done that. She was that low. The famine was over. Bethlehem was blessed with bread again, became the house of bread again. We won't go into chapter 2, because that's when Boaz comes on the scene. So there's going to be eventually a link up between Ruth and Boaz, of course. But Moab, as I said, and Edom were these, Moab and Ammon were the two sons born out of incest with Lot and his two daughters. And unfortunately became enemies right through. So Moab is a type of godless pagan Gentile nations. Hostile to Israel. Sad to say, even some of the church is hostile to Israel. We call it anti-Semitism. Even in the church, yes. And replacement theology, we won't go into that, is responsible for that. So eventually when we get into it, when Boaz comes on the scene, we'll see next week, chapter 2, when he comes on the scene, blessings flow. Blessings flow. Mm. When Christ comes into our lives, blessings flow. Salvation first, and all sorts of promises and provisions. Very wonderful. So Israel, Naomi, returns to the land. Eventually there's a happy time, of course, we know that. So Boaz, a kinsman redeemer. Kinsman, same family redeemer. He had the wealth in order to buy Naomi's inheritance back and give it back to her, so she's no longer homeless, no longer poverty-stricken, no longer in danger going into slavery. She now had her home, She had a place to live. She could identify with the people once again. What a blessing. All because of a kinsman redeemer. And the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, future King of Israel, will prosper Israel once again. He will keep his word as he promised. See, he promised Abraham tremendous blessing. I will give you the land. I'll bless those who bless you, but I'll curse him, singular, who curses you. The Lord notices in a singular way any individual who curses the Jewish people. He notes it and will act on it eventually. Same with nations. The nations that have been persecuting Israel, God notices. Russia, Germany, we've not always been favorable. Sometimes we have. And the Lord will deal. He will deal with them. The Lord says, I'll bless those, plural, who bless you, but I'll curse him, singular. He marks it out. That's in Genesis 12. So there it is. Well, we know Israel has been out of touch with the Lord, apart from a few, as a nation, apart from just very few in the church now. They've been without recognizing her Messiah. They rejected him in that generation, just that generation. But he's going to come back, and he is going to receive her to himself once again. He's going to save a remnant of Israel. It's covering the whole. This little book here is a type of so many of the other books in the Old Testament, especially the prophets. It's such a rich book, this one is. We're not hurrying it through. She comes home, Ruth with her. Harvest is there. When we get through into chapter 2 and chapter 3, it is a harvest time. You can see in the end of chapter 1, verse 22, it's the beginning of barley harvest. Later on comes the wheat harvest. Now, the barley harvest is roughly about the time of, and blessing flow, the Jewish feast of Pentecost is about barley harvest, April time. Wheat harvest is later on. That comes as well on the scene. But this is a barley harvest, a blessing of harvest once again. That will come. And when the church was born, on that special feast day of Pentecost in the Jewish calendar, back when you have it in Acts chapter 2, blessing flow to the Gentiles. But it began with the Jew. 3,000 Jews were saved, then 5,000. It was years before a Gentile came. Cornelius, of course, was one, and then a few others. And they had a problem receiving Gentiles into the church. They had to have a council in Jerusalem, Acts 15, to see how they would welcome Gentiles in, because they couldn't understand God was going to do something with Gentiles. But James, the head of the church there, he was very wise. He knew exactly what the Lord was planning. So this is it. Now, when we come to a harvest time, we've got barley harvest here, eventually the wheat harvest. But at the end of the wheat harvest, when it's all gathered in, as I explained before, there was a time of the winnowing. What they do is, you know, they go onto a hill, back in those days, and they would throw the grain up into the, when they have a good, they put a sledge, it's called a threshing instrument, over the grain. And that threshing instrument is the same word for, it's the same word. So there's a threshing to come, and it's a great tribulation. Dismisses that, not totally. But during that time of the threshing and the winnowing, when all the threshing is done, they knock the grain out of the husks, it's all mixed up together, and they throw it up in the air, and the wind blows the husks away, and the grain heavier falls to the earth, and they can gather it in. While all that time is going on, the threshing was going on, prophetically, typically, while the threshing was going on, you're now going to be safe with the Lord in heaven. The rapture and resurrection will come. We go, and then the Lord begins the great tribulation. It's called the threshing day. Some years back, when I first came here, and I worked with Guth Afshar and Let My People Go Now, the Ebenezer Emergency Fund, and Steve Lytle, who's from America, he had a lot to do with all this, and he gave some excellent ministry on the threshing floor. Oh, what a message that was. God is going to thresh the nations. Thank God we're not there. We're going to be sheltered under our Boaz. Mm. See how this is so important, this wonderful book. So, you see, in a sense, Ruth is going to be married to Boaz on the earth. You and I are going to be married to Christ in heaven.
Amen.
When we're all taken up, there's a time coming when Israel, a renewal of their marriage. So many Christians miss this, but it's all here. Israel the Messiah, just like Boaz, will redeem his people, and he will be king. That's what he was crucified for, wasn't he? King of the Jews?
Yeah.
Do you know, if the Jewish people Even if they had received him, which they didn't, of course, that was all God's plan. If they had received him, the Romans would have killed him because he was a rival king. So it wasn't the Jews, it would have been the Romans, but it was combined. In our day, bring it up to date here, bring it up typically, topically, prophetically, the harvest of souls to join the church is probably, when the harvest is at an end, then there's a winnowing going on with the Lord. And a great wedding day to come, the
Praise
marriage
God.
Of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
I expect Colin will mention this about the marriage first, which follows on from the marriage follows on from the reward throne, of course, as we know, they may mention that. So after, it's called the night of threshing. We'll get there in Ruth. I'll just briefly mention it now, we're trapped again. When the night of threshing, it's a brief time. Well, in God's time, it's 7 years, but the worst part is 3.5. It will be the winnowing. Now, remember when John the Baptist came on the scene, he was preaching. He said about the Lord Jesus, the winnowing fan is in his hand, but he's held that because of grace. But there's a time coming when he's going to judge. Now, eventually we'll look into the book of Revelation, not tonight, as we move towards the threshing time. Not yet, but there's a time coming. A friend of mine, he's with the Lord now, he's in the Merchant Navy for many, many years, way, way, way back, long before even Israel became a nation, which was in 1948, as you know. And he went to what was called, wrongly called, Palestine. Should never have been. That's what the Romans named it. And he was on a ship, and he went up on deck, up on the top where the captain was, and he overlooked the land. They were in Haifa Harbour. And look, he saw nothing but barren desert. He said, it's not even worth going to see. He didn't bother. Well, different it is now. Times when I've been into Israel, 1 year, down in the desert area, they called the Negev, down by Beersheba. It was all barren desert. Next year, it was absolutely filled with vines, all sorts of shrubs, all green, irrigated from the Galilee aqueduct, all the way down from Galilee to the desert, 130-odd miles. A year made a difference. And we'll be like that again. That's promised in Scripture. Be fruitful. So after this night of threshing, Israel will one day will be delivered from that threshing time, and she will be saved. And will they enjoy the golden age of Messiah's reign, the Boaz, the greater Boaz, will come back as a king. That's just a bit of an appetite. One of the things, later on we see Boaz restores Naomi to her inheritance. She loses her poverty, loses everything that she had when she left. Now it's all restored to her. I think I'll finish on the positive side, asking you to look at Psalm 132. I think we'll leave it there. Go to Psalm 132, would you? Psalm 132. Now we've been focusing upon Bethlehem. We've been focusing on Naomi. Ruth is included. We've just had a hint of Boaz coming on the scene, of the promise of Israel's blessing and harvest being restored after a difficult time to come. Psalm 132, let's read from verse 13. You see what I'm getting at? For the Lord has chosen Zion, that's Jerusalem. He has desired it for his habitation. He's come back to live there. This is my resting place forever, Messiah speaking. Here I will dwell. I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. That's what Boaz did for Naomi. I will satisfy her poor with bread. Oh my, he certainly did that. She was poor and they were living in the house of bread, Bethlehem. I will also clothe her priests with salvation. At the end of Isaiah, Israel is going to once again be priests unto God like we will be. They'll go out to the nations and do what God wanted them in the first place, to be his teaching witnesses to the nations in the millennium. They're going to do it. Here it is. This is prophetic. I will clothe the priests with salvation, and the saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of the strength of David grow, because Jesus is son of David. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed, that's Mashiach, Messiah. His enemies I will clothe with shame, he certainly will judge them. But upon himself his crown shall flourish. A greater than Boaz is coming back to Israel. And his name is Jesus. We leave it tonight. Yes. Sorry?
What the names of Marlon and Kilian?
Oh, yes. Okay, yes, what? Thank you. Let me have a look for them. I've got them here somewhere. Ooh, where are they? Ah, here we are. Yeah, I've got it. Naomi, are you still recording? Naomi means pleasant one. Then she said, call me Mara, no more pleasant. Elimelech, God is my king. They lived in Judah, which means praise. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Elimelech dies. God is my king. Mahlon means sickly one. He must have been in poor health. And Chilion means pining one. He longed to get back to Israel. There it is. Naomi, pleasant one. Elimelech, God is my king. Mahlon, sickly one. Chilion, pining one. Orpah means hind or fawn. Doesn't say what Ruth. I don't know what Ruth's name is. Anyway, there it is.
Thank you.
Sorry, I meant to mention that before, by the way.
Thank you, John. Get